This is the Cross Point Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
So, my wife Kylie and I live in a gated apartment community in Frisco. And most people there really like the gates. They like the idea of the safety and security that the gates provide. However, every now and again, you get somebody who's a little ticked off at the fact that you either need one of these little fob keys to get in, or you need to call somebody to actually get in through the gates. Which is weird, because I'm thinking if you're paying that kind of money to live in a secure building, you'd be happy that the security is there. But they get upset about it for some reason. And I think part of it is because gates keep us out, right? And let's face it, if there's a gate or a door that says, do not enter, what do you want to do? Exactly. And maybe if you don't want to go through the door or the gate, you want to go around it, right? Maybe you want to go over the wall or the fence or whatever. In fact, Kylie and I, we used to travel with a illusion show. And we had a 65-foot semi that we rolled around in, which is not real easy to navigate some of the smaller suburb towns that we might encounter. So anytime we wanted to go to like a store, we kind of had to walk everywhere. And this one particular time, I think it was in Tennessee, we were on one side of the highway. And on the other side of the highway, there was a Best Buy. Now, Best Buys may not seem impressive to you guys, but when you're on the road, sometimes that's like the coolest thing in the world. And you just want to get to it. So we decided, well, let's go over to the Best Buy, hang out for a while. So Kylie, my wife, and our boss, Kevin, the three of us started walking across. We went under the underpass on the highway. And when we got to the other side of the highway, there was a giant field separating us from the Best Buy. And surrounding this giant field was this big, tall gate, right? One of those chain link fence things, you know what I'm talking about? So we had two choices. We could either walk all the way down the road to where the stoplight was and the fence ended and then walk around that, or we could climb up over the fence and just scurry across the field. We decided to do the latter, which was not a good idea because apparently a police officer was watching us at the time. And he waited until we got to the other side of the field. And then he turned his lights on and he said, come here. So we walked over. He's like, can I help you guys? We're like, no, we're good. Thanks. He's like, no, you don't understand. You guys climbed that fence back there, right? We're like, well, yeah, we're trying to go to the Best Buy. He's like, what do you think that fence is there for? So consequently, the joke on the road became, well, fences are, of course, for climbing. That's what you do. Well, we've been in a series called First Person Present, which is examining the seven I am statements of Jesus. And we've looked at Jesus as the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, and then last week we looked at the way, the truth, and the life. Pastor Dave, for those of you who aren't aware, is I'm not the pastor, for those of you who are first time here or whatever. I'm, like I said, the community curator. But our pastor, Pastor Dave, is out of town on a study leave in Orcas Island, and he's been sending, well, his daughter's actually been sending lots of pictures of how beautiful it is out there and making us all jealous. But when he and I first discussed the idea for this series, it was based on this book called I Am Changes Who I Am. And I recommend if you want to dive into any more of these concepts we've been learning, pick it up. It's a pretty good book. And Dave wanted to name the series First Person Present because the I am, in Greek, that usage is the first person present usage of that phrase. For me, I thought it was kind of cool that we were calling it first person present because we were talking about Jesus, and since Jesus was there from the beginning, that would make him the first person present. Thanks. He laughed at me too. Anyway, so when Pastor Dave sent me the list of the statements that we were going to work through, he was very intent on doing the resurrection and the life on Easter Sunday. And so he essentially said to me, here's the list of the ones we're doing. Choose your own adventure and figure out which one you want to cover while I'm gone. So I looked through the list and I saw, I am the gate. And I thought, I am the gate. I don't remember having heard that, anything preached on that. So I thought, well, that sounds like a kind of a fun challenge. And then after spending some time looking through this, I realized why there's not a lot of speaking on it. Because it's a little tough. But here we are, so we're going to dive into it. Now, because Jesus claims to be the gate, for a lot of people that smacks of some arrogance, right? It's kind of the shades of last week's I am the way, the truth, and the life. And particularly in our postmodern, multicultural world that we live in, it's very un-PC to say that Jesus is the gate. But that's what he says in the Word, so that's what we have to follow, and that's what we're going to talk about today. By the way, you can find notes on all of this in our YouVersion Live event. Some of you, I see, are using your tablets or your phones. How many of you are using the YouVersion Live stuff, by the way? Okay, cool. How many of you have any idea what the YouVersion Live is? Well, it's all there. It's under First Person Present, week 5. But before we get there, I would like to pray because this, like I said, is a tough one. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you that Pastor Dave gets the chance to get out of here for a little while and do some study, leaving stuff, whatever it is he's doing up there. But I thank you for the people who are gathered here today, and I just pray that you will speak through me as we dive into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we're going to talk about this, one of the things that Pastor Dave has been talking about a lot is you have to understand the context. You have to understand where we are in the story. So let's take a look at exactly where we are. Now, all of this, the passage we're going to look at today happens in John 10, which conveniently enough takes place after John 9. It's the way it works. And in John 9, we find this story about a man, about Jesus healing a man of blindness on the Sabbath. And if you were here at the well this week, we talked about that a little bit. And essentially what happens is this man is blind from birth. He's sitting out of the gates, and Jesus walks by with his disciples and, long story short, heals him of the blindness. Well, all his friends are suddenly seeing him, and he can see them for the first time, which is kind of cool. And they're like, "Didn't you used to be blind?" He's like, "Yeah, but now I'm not." And they're like, "Well, how does that happen?" And it's like, "Man, I don't know. This guy Jesus came along, and he healed me. He spit on the ground. He put some mud in my face, and I can see now." So his friends think, well, this is kind of a weird thing to happen. Go figure. And so they march him down to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees start quizzing him on this. They're like, "So you were blind from birth?" He's like, "Yeah, but now I'm not." They're like, "And you were healed by this guy named Jesus?" He's like, "Yeah, isn't that amazing?" And then they're like, "But this guy Jesus healed you on the Sabbath." He's like, "Oh, yeah. Well, then obviously Jesus can't be from God. Because even though he healed you of your blindness, he did it on the Sabbath, and we just don't do things like that around here." It's kind of like they were upset because he did it on a day off. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever worked with union crews. Kylie and I, in the show that we traveled with, we worked with a lot of union crews all over the country. And essentially, in the union stage crews, every so often you have to take a break. And when you take that break, absolutely no work can happen on stage. And so even though in the illusion show, there's a lot of things that we do that they can't even touch because it's illusion-y stuff, we're not allowed to do it because that's the break time. And so even though it might get us ahead 15, 20, 30 minutes, if we were just to take that 15 minutes to do work, we can't do it because, well, it's break time. So don't do that. And that's kind of what the Pharisees are upset about here. So the guy tells the Pharisees, "Y'all are crazy. All right, I was blind, now I can see, and you think this isn't from God? I don't get that." So they kick him out of the synagogue, out of the temple, and that's where Jesus comes along and finds him. And Jesus starts talking to him, and the Pharisees overhear this, and they come out, and they start talking to Jesus and this guy, and that's where we are in the story. We're outside of the synagogue. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and the rest of the crowd. So we're going to bring it up on the screen here, John 10, 1 through 10. I'll read it out for you guys, or you can follow along in YouVersion. Or if you have one of those paper Bibles, you can use that too. "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." And those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So, when Jesus is here referring to himself as the gate, how would that have been understood? Because let's be honest, to really take hold of the meaning, you kind of have to know the way shepherds were working back then and how the audience might have heard this. So back then, pretty much everybody knew what a shepherd was, but it wasn't necessarily a positive knowledge, right? Shepherds kind of were on the lowest rung of the social ladder. They were dirty. They had long hours. They were generally ceremonially unclean for dealing with blood and carcasses and poop. So to hear Jesus say, especially when he goes on later and talks about being I am the shepherd, that probably struck them a little weird. Now, I've got a little illustration here. In ancient Egypt, ancient Israel, not Egypt, sheepfolds were generally pretty crude. They were pretty much a small pen of stones or of branches, maybe some mud bricks, kind of in this semicircular fashion, nothing really fancy. They weren't really very tall. They were just enough to keep the sheep from coming out and people from coming in. And the sheepfold had a single opening to protect against the robbers and the wild animals. And so the shepherd would literally lie. Ooh. Cozy. Would literally lie in the center of that opening and become the gate. And so, I know, right? That was my reaction. So when he says anybody who's climbing over the wall, they're a thief and a robber. But if you come through... So they would lie in front of the opening, and nothing could enter or leave without them knowing it. And they would protect from outside threats and keep the sheep in. Now, sometimes you'd have multiple flocks that were all pinned together. And this is really cool because that's where when Jesus says, I call my sheep out by name and they know my name. Literally, the shepherds in these communal pens, they would come up and they would call out their sheep and the sheep would come out because they recognized their voice, which I think is pretty cool. So anyways, all of that for that. Okay, so when Jesus gives us this word picture of a gate, that's pretty much what he's talking about. And the term is kind of a common word. We've been using a friend of ours, Christy Thurman, who lives in Washington now. She's kind of our linguist on call when we have questions. And so I sent her an email this week. I said, hey, are you willing to help a non-Wallstedt with some word usage? So she said, sure. So she said, it's one of those tongue twisters. She said, there we go, that the word that's used here is thorough. And it's the idea is access rather than like a slab of wood or some sort of a blocking agent. Does that make sense? So it's the access, it's the portal. It's the point through which the sheep must pass to get into the pen. And then when he talks about the sheepfold, the word he uses there is aule. And the word refers to a courtyard in or next to a house where you'd keep the stables. And interestingly enough, it's also the word that's used to translate the Hebrew word for the temple courts, which Jesus was speaking outside of at that very moment. So I think there's kind of an interesting play there. Now, around here, we talk a lot about being gathered and scattered. We talk a lot about coming together in a group like this in order to be encouraged and be edified and be supported so that we can then go out into the world and do the things that God calls us to do. And in this passage, I think Jesus kind of alludes a little bit to that when he says that those who come in through me will be saved, like we are saved as people of God, and they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. You see, the shepherd brings the sheep in not to keep them there forever, right? He keeps them there for rest and relaxation and to rest and protection. And as he does, because he is that gate, because he is literally the one standing in this way, he's checking each sheep as it comes in. He's making sure they haven't been injured while they've been out in the fields. And if they are, then he takes them aside and he heals them, makes sure they're healthy and tends to their wounds. And when a shepherd leads his flock out of the fold, he's doing it to take them to pasture. In and out of the fold they go. And in Psalm 23, you get that allusion when it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And if we'll let him direct our ways, the Lord will watch over us and care for us and lead us to the places we should go. Under the direction of the good shepherd, we can have a rich and satisfying life, a real life. So let me ask you this. When I say the word gate or I say the word door, what are some thoughts that pop into your head?
Separation.
Separation. That's good. What else?
Lock and key.
Lock and key. Ooh, interesting. What was that?
Narrow.
I mentioned to somebody the other night that I was going to be preaching on Jesus as the gate. And their response was, well, what is Jesus blocking us from? And I think that's interesting because how you perceive things or how you look at things are going to color everything. And so if you see Jesus as the gate as blocking you from something, that's going to change how you're looking at him. As Margaret Feinberg, and here's another really good book. I don't normally have this many books, but I thought it was kind of fun today. Dave likes to do it, and he's really good at it. So I'm trying to copy him. but she's got this book, Scouting the Divine, which if you want to know a little bit more about shepherds and sheep and their relation to Scripture and all of that, she's got some amazing thoughts about it. But she says in here, from a sheep's perspective, fences prevent the animal from enjoying greener grass. But from a shepherd's perspective, the boundaries ensure that the sheep stays safe and doesn't eat something dangerous or get eaten. You see, we have to view Jesus as the gate in the proper context. He's not trying to block us from anything. He's not trying to keep us out. He's trying to keep us safe. And sometimes it can lead to a life that we never, ever imagined. I've been very fortunate in my life to have the opportunity to do some kind of cool stuff. And I'm going to really date myself here. Back in 1997, I was working in a music store. This is back when there actually were music stores where you could go in and buy like a physical CD. And I'll date myself even further by saying by the time I came in, they were just then phasing out the cassette tapes. Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad. But the music store I worked for had decided they were going to host this is their phrase for it, the world's largest ticketed rock concert. And so they held it out at Texas Motor Speedway, and apparently, I just was looking this up this morning, it's still the number 10 highest attended concert of all time. There were 385,000 people at this concert. And part of the reason was because of the list of bands that they had. At the time, these were the hottest bands around. It was 16 hours of music. There was No Doubt, Collective Soul, Matchbox 20, Bush, Jewel, The Wallflowers, Counting Crows. The list went on and on and on and on. All these big-time bands. Now, because I worked in the music store, I was offered the opportunity to work at the music store that they had on site there. So people could hear the band and then go buy the CD. It's a pretty good idea. And because I was working the music store, I was also allowed access to the VIP tent. Now, how many of you have been out to Texas Motor Speedway in the summertime? Yeah, it's hot, right? There's no shade, you know? The drinks are super expensive, right? So I had access to this VIP tent where I could go in and come out as I pleased. And I asked a friend of mine, I'm like, hey, I've got access to this tent. You want to come with me? And he's like, no, that's okay. I'm not interested. Well, he didn't know what was in there. I didn't know what was in there either. But I went in, and I was astonished. It was literally a huge tent. I don't even remember how big it was. Totally air-conditioned. And there was food everywhere you looked. There's food and drink, and it was all free. Here's how cool it was in there. There were actually ice sculptures in the VIP tent. That's how cool it was. And then to top all of that off, if getting free food, drink, air conditioning, rest weren't enough, all the bands that were playing that day would come through the VIP tent to eat and drink and hang out. So I got to hang out with all those people. My friend said, no, I'm not interested in that. How crazy is that? Why would you want to miss out on that opportunity? And I think that's a little taste of what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. He is leading us to a full and rich and satisfying life if we'll just follow him in. And I think it's also interesting that Jesus never says that the gate is closed to anyone. There's never this lock and key. There's never this blocking. There's none of that. All he says that those who try to go in without coming in through the gate are thieves and robbers and are trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He just asks you to come in through him. Calvin has a great quote. He says, "No man is excluded from calling upon God. The gate of salvation is set open unto all men. Neither is there any other living thing which keepeth us back from entering in, save only our own unbelief." I think that's beautiful. All we have to do is accept Jesus' invitation to go in. We were at story group the other night, and Stephen told me this story. I had to go look it up. Not that I didn't believe you. I just wanted to know it for myself. And I thought this was kind of an interesting thing. This is in Shane Claiborne's book, Jesus for President. I wonder how Jesus would be as president. I don't know. Here's the story, and this is a joke. Please understand that. It was a busy day in heaven as folks waited in line at the pearly gates. Peter stood as a gatekeeper, checking each newcomer's name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there was some confusion, because the numbers weren't adding up. Heaven was a little overcrowded, and a bunch of folks were unaccounted for. So some of the angels were sent to investigate, and it wasn't long before two of them returned. "We found the problem," they said. "Jesus is out back lifting people up over the gate." I want to change that story just a little bit. Jesus is not out back lifting anybody over the gate. He's not doing anything surreptitiously. He's standing as the gate. He is there welcoming you in. And all he's asking is that you come in through the proper channels. To enter into the kingdom of heaven, are you going through the gate? Or are you trying to use some other form? And it could be good works. It could be saying nice things. Who knows? Jesus says he's the gate. Go in through him. Let's pray. Father God, once again, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning. I thank you for the great people who've gathered here today. I pray, Lord, that as we go from here, we will seek to always enter through your gate. I will seek to allow you to be the good shepherd that you've said you are. Father, I just pray that we can be the people you've called us to be, the agents of restoration into this world. Pray that you'll bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.